Professor Colin O'Gara, consultant addiction psychiatrist and a member of Facility of Addiction Psychiatry of the College of Psychiatrists of Ireland. Good morning, Professor O'Gara. How are you keeping this morning?
Good, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely delighted. Professor O'Gara, the College of Psychiatrists of Ireland have recently launched a paper on gambling disorder. And maybe you could tell us a little about that.
Yes, so we've recently released a paper on gambling disorder, which is problem gambling, essentially. And for many years, we've known that gambling is a significant problem out there. And what we wanted to do was to focus in on what the college might recommend with regards to making the situation better. So effectively, we have asked that a regulator come in and regulate gambling in Ireland. That's probably the overarching request, really, from the paper. Also, there's focus on advertising, which, you know, if you're looking at sporting events at the moment, there's a real problem. You know, mainly out of the UK, but a lot of the sporting events that we watch, obviously, in particular football, there's a significant problem there with the link with gambling. And the other issues really around funding. So, you know, getting treatment services up for young men in particular who are affected by gambling and need treatment for the condition, and also, you know, funds to be put into, say, researching the problem in Ireland, because we don't have any decent data on the problem. But if we extrapolate from the UK, we would think it's a pretty substantial problem, probably 1-5% of the population affected, and then in adolescents and young men in particular be much higher, you know. So they're the key summary points.
And gambling in this country, it's a lot of people don't actually understand it as an addiction or as a disorder.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, for a good chunk of people, gambling, Michael, there wouldn't be any issue, you know. And that has to be stated. People gamble away and it's fine, not a problem. But for a significant minority, there is a problem. That problem can be very substantial, with significant loss of, you know, loss of finances. And then in the more severe cases, people will steal money, borrow money, and run into a lot of difficulty to maintain the addiction. The issue that we have at the moment is just the significant amount of exposure that people have to gambling in the country, and effectively the increasing normalization of gambling through the advertising and the links with sport in particular. So we're hoping that through the introduction of a regulator, which has been talked about since 2013, that finally we'll get that moving and we'll start to see some of the protections for people who would run into trouble with gambling introduced.
And Professor, tell me, is there enough treatment facilities for people with, particularly residential treatment facility for people with gambling addiction?
Simple answer is no. The same applies to many psychiatric facilities nationwide. I mean, there was another position paper, if we're talking about position papers, but the Vision for Change, which was a combined paper of several stakeholders in 2006, which was the blueprint really for modern psychiatric services in Ireland, that has not been followed through effectively. Gambling addiction would be very much down the pecking order compared to even psychiatry and other addictions, you know. So gambling, like, there's very little focus on gambling addiction in general, and there's a huge need, you know, for both outpatient services and residential. Obviously, the gold standard would be residential. Even in the UK, there wouldn't be a fantastic, availability of NHS gambling residential treatment facilities, but it's getting better there, and there's certainly a lot more focus proper legislation, and in fact at the moment they're even reviewing their legislation, which has been up and running for a while. So we're a good bit behind the curve in Ireland at the moment, and not, you know, with services and across the board, really, we really have to move on it and get going.
I know some time ago, I think it's about 18 months ago, I spoke with Tony O'Reilly. You may know Tony, who had, he was in the post office.
Yeah, I know Tony, yeah. Yeah,
and I know Tony, and I spoke with him, and we did an interview, and he had a big concern with young people in sport, particularly at the time. I think it was around, there seemed to be a lot of GAA people in sport were having serious problems with gambling addiction. Is it quite prevalent within young sports people?
Absolutely. Just firstly, just to on Tony, just to say what a wonderful advocate for you know, treatment and for people getting help. Obviously, Tony's story is a harrowing story, which is detailed very clearly in Declan Lynch's book, Tony 10. But yes, I mean, Tony is correct in saying that the problem is significant in sport. Coming back to the research end of things, we really need funding so that we can answer that question in an accurate way. So if funding is available and it's focused on gambling, you can start to answer those questions, get it away from anecdotes, which you know, we're all probably, you know, there's a lot of stories coming out saying that we believe that this is a substantial problem, but really what's needed is not only national household surveys on the issue of gambling, but also surveys done within the particular sports as well.
And Professor, gambling is what you might call a behavioural addiction, rather than you have the shall we say the drugs and alcohol. But within the behavioural addiction, would you classify then, you know, gaming addiction and things like that? Are there other things that you would classify under behavioural addictions?
Yeah, you've raised a very important one. Gaming, internet gaming disorder, is effectively, in plain English, is the problem of particularly, you know, adolescents, but also young people, not only male, but also increasingly female, spending inordinate amounts of time on computer games. This is an emerging problem. It's certainly not an emerging problem in the United States and Asian countries, where, you know, the internet quality has been much higher for many years before Ireland. It is a substantial problem there, and it is going to be a substantial problem going forward in Ireland. What we're seeing is the morphing of some of those behaviours as well. We have components within computer games called loot boxes, which are gambling features within computer games. And effectively, they're introducing young computer game players to the world of gambling. Their work, the industry of loot boxes within computer games is worth billions. And there would be a reluctance to have those items taken out. Some countries have deemed these features gambling features, and they're, you know, moving to ban them. That's particularly in Spain in the last month or so. There has been focus on that, and Belgium for at least the last year or two have been quite focused on the crossovers between gambling and gaming, gaming meaning video games. So yeah, definitely a concern there. You know, the wider issue of behaviours, there's always a criticism, I suppose, of, you know, where do you draw the line between normal behaviour and an addiction? And that's something that the field is going to have to grapple with going into the future, because there may be rarer process addictions or behavioural addictions, that's the other word for it, you know, that are very rare but very real, but they come as a great shock and surprise to some people. You know, exercise might be an example of where where people might have disbelief that, you know, people could get addicted to it. But increasingly we're seeing with long distance events and ultra events, where is the crossover between normality there and addiction? So that would be one example. And there's also, you know, shopping, if people go online and, you know, buy all sorts of stuff that they don't need, that can be an addiction. I have certainly seen that in my practice, but it's rare, you know. These process addictions are rare. What we know from the moment with regards to prevalence, we know that gambling is certainly not rare, and we know that internet gaming is not rare and an increasing problem for young people. And we'll have to wait and see around the other ones what happens there. But it's, you know, certainly process addictions is something everybody's going to be here, you know, process or behavioral addictions. That's where there isn't a substance like alcohol or drugs. That's going to be, people are going to be hearing more and more about that into the future, there's no doubt.
And Professor, I know some time ago I was at a launch of a strategy. I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago. The Department of Health were launching a strategy vis-a-vis drugs. And I was so surprised, but one of the people from the Department of Health was actually against putting alcohol or tying alcohol addiction in with drug addiction. Do we see the same type of thing with gambling addiction, that it, they don't want to put it in under the addictions umbrella, or shall we say, as you said there, with gaming addiction, that they don't want to link gaming addiction and gambling addictions together? Because I would see that if you had, and I'm going to use the word czar for gambling addiction, that he would also cover all those behavioural addictions or process addictions, as you said.
Yeah, I mean, classification, you know, with process addictions is the first hurdle. It was May 2013 where DSM-5, which would be the International Classificatory System for Psychiatric Disorders, that would be the American version, gambling disorder was reclassified at that point. Prior to May 2013, there was a different view of gambling. It was considered to be like an impulse control disorder. In May 2013, gambling disorder was reclassified from an impulse control disorder to an addiction. So that reflected the progress that was made with regards to acknowledging gambling disorder as a an addiction. Prior to that, there was a reluctance to consider gambling disorder along the same lines as drug and alcohol addiction. And it was through knowledge, really research, and there was a huge committees in the classificatory systems. There'd be 10,000 a piece of feedback coming from all over the world, several committees. But ultimately what it was the research was clear that the features of gambling disorder were no different to alcohol or drug addiction. And I think over time, as the research and the clinical experience of clinicians working in the area, as that builds, you see then a strengthening of the knowledge and you see the classification changing. And certainly gambling was the first process or first behavior that broke the mold in that regard. Internet gaming disorder was the same. Just last year, there was a change in classification as well, bringing internet gaming into the fold of addictions. Just from the clinical perspective, we would be in no doubt whatsoever. When you meet somebody who, you know, spends, you know, 12 to 16 hours a day playing video games, or somebody that cannot control their gambling and it's causing terrible effects for them or the people around them, it's very clear when you meet people in these situations that they are suffering, and suffering greatly, just like somebody with a drug or an alcohol addiction would be suffering. And the effect on the family is substantial. you know, there's literature to support the idea that gambling disorder not only affects the individual, but it affects 7 to 8 people around the individual in a substantial way. And what we'll see is that over time, there'll be increasing evidence, both research-wise, but also clinically. And that evidence cannot be denied, and it cannot be avoided. So policymakers then will have no choice but to follow that, hopefully with regards to funding and acknowledgement of people suffering with those particular addictions.
Well, unfortunately, Professor, we're starting to run out of time, but can I ask you, if somebody has a concern or wants to know a bit more about the gambling addictions or where they can get support, or a parent wants to find out where they can get support for somebody, how can they do that?
Yeah, well, there's a number of resources. The first would be, it's no harm whatsoever to talk to somebody's GP. GPs are very knowledgeable now around triaging people and getting them the help they need. Gamblers Anonymous is a massive support, which is a very good network and a very widely available. So certainly in the second instance, I'd suggest that. Talking to family and friends, it's a very hidden problem often, and just talking to family and letting family know that there's an issue, often that isn't the case. Over several months and perhaps years, that people keep the problem to themselves. And finally, I just mentioned my own book, Gambling Addiction in Ireland, which came out last year. I try to encapsulate a lot of the stuff that I've talked about there and the ideas around treatment within that.
Professor O'Gara, many thanks for talking to us this morning.
Delighted to be on, and many thanks for the opportunity to talk to you. Thanks a million.
Thanks very much. All the best now. Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.